Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. Well, hello, my beautiful spiritual hustlers, and welcome back to this very special episode. Happy, happy new year. You guys, it's 2026. Like, what? Is time even real? Yes, it is. It, in fact, thankfully is, because I don't know about y'all, but I was really ready for 25 to be over. And I don't mean to say that in like a negative way, because there were so many beautiful blessings that happened last year. I expanded my feminine frequency business school. We graduated over 200 women. I hosted a sacred summit in Nashville for all of them. I built and moved into my dream home. I got to go to Avalon with my Seven Sisters Mastermind. Like, there were so many amazing things, so many blessings I could count. But y'all, was it the year of the snake or what? Lots of shedding, lots of releasing, lots of death and rebirth. And, you know, it was the end of a 9-year cycle. And we are now in a brand new 9-year cycle. 2 + 2 + 6 = 1. Well, 10, but 1 + 0 = 1. And I'm just so ready for that new cycle. And I really feel so much beautiful, clean, clear energy. Everything that happened in 2025, and I'm not just speaking to myself, I'm speaking to all of you, needed to happen in order for us to be reborn with more clarity and power and momentum and wisdom. And I could not think of a better way to start 2026 with this particular conversation today. In my new studio, the new Spiritual Hustler Podcast studio has launched on YouTube, on the gram, wherever you watch your podcast. You guys, I'm so grateful for this beautiful space that has been such a upgrade and activation for me. And this conversation that I'm sharing with you today was the anointment, is the commencement of this initiation of this brand new journey that we all get to go on together here in this studio, as I bring to you so many fresh, new, incredible conversations and unlockings and solos and incredible guests. I'm just so, so, so blessed to be here and to have this moment finally arrive. And I could not, in a million bajillion infinity amount of time, years, to bring in this person today to all of you. She is my best friend. She is my twin flame. Yes, that's a thing. We have identified the fact that we are split from the same soul. Megan Taylor, DJ Megan Taylor, my best friend of 15 years. The woman who knows me better than I know myself, in many ways knows me better than my own husband. Knows me better than anybody on the planet. Megan has died a million deaths and been reborn with me a million times over, and has seen every aspect of my own personal journey, my business growth, my burnout, my healing, my good, my bad, my ugly. Okay. Megan sees it all, knows it all, holds it all. And she's still with me, you guys. She's still friends with me. And I really wanted her to come on because she is a gift. Megan Taylor is a unicorn of a soul. I call her my technical frequency. Megan is a globally recognized DJ. She travels all around the world to some of the biggest events in both corporate, private, and beyond, working for hotel brands, working for major corporations like Google and Nike and SoulCycle and some of the biggest private equity firms in the world. Like, they hire Megan Taylor to travel to their events to bring the vibes, to bring the energy, to bring the curation of community through sound. She's also a producer of events. I've actually hired her multiple times to produce my retreats. She's produced my book launches. She's a consultant across all sorts of creative partnerships. And she is now a nomad. She doesn't live anywhere. She lives out of a suitcase and a storage locker and finds herself in a different state or country every other week or month. She gave up her home last year and is living most of her time in the winter, at least in Tulum, Mexico. But the girl is on more airplanes than I could ever handle. And it was actually her idea to interview me. And I got to tell you guys, this is a long interview. We really took you inside of our friendship. This is how we talk every day. The level of consciousness and depth and nuance and emotion and pop culture and going through our own healing journeys. It's all in here today and so much more. I have never been interviewed on my own show, and she really took the mic today, and I was the guest on the Spiritual Hustler podcast. And I'm not going to lie, because she's Megan and because I feel so safe with her, there were many moments inside of this interview where I forgot you guys were listening, and I shared things that I've never shared before. And if you are really keen on understanding not only best friendship, I don't want to pedestal us by any imagination because we're not perfect. We have our shit. But my relationship with Megan is honestly one of my greatest accomplishments. Being in relationship with Megan has taught me how to be in real relationship with somebody who activates you, who triggers you, who celebrates you, who shows up for you in the dark and the light. And she asked me very probing, very vulnerable questions. And I know you guys know this because you've been listening to the podcast for a while. I'm pretty vulnerable here. I don't really hold much back. But in this conversation, Megan was able to prick parts of my story and what's happened in my life and my beliefs and philosophies and my own self-awareness. I honestly am a little nervous to share. And I have to really thank her for taking this conversation as seriously as she did. She prepped all these questions. She did all of this research. She spent all of this time gathering her questions and really held it like a master. And I am honored and a little freaked out to bring you this conversation. But here in 2026, the first episode of a new year, in the first year of a brand new cycle and the year of the fire horse, I hope that it gives you freedom. That's the theme of this year for me. That's the theme of this year in universal energy with the year of the horse, to free ourselves from anything that is holding us back from being our highest, truest expression, that we free ourselves from what people think of us, that we free ourselves from old stories and identities, that we free ourselves from bonds that have kept us stuck and small, from living out our highest potential. And I just feel, I guess, called to go first in this beautiful, safe container that I was able to drop in with my best friend. Above all, proud to share her with all of you, because she is a teacher. She is a guide. She is a trailblazer. She is a one-of-a-kind human being that anyone who knows Megan loves Megan and wants to be with Megan and around Megan, because she's that loving and that magical and that much fun. And there are some serious laughs in this conversation. Like, you guys, we went there. And so it is without further ado that I introduce you, yeah, to Megan, but also to me. Take this one in. Don't judge me. Just kidding. And enjoy.
Well, I should welcome you to my show, but this is going to be a little different because you're leading the show today.
Yeah, I was like, basically like, Jessica, I want to be on your show to ask you questions.
And I was like, No, just kidding. I was like, let's do it. Let's talk about how we, well, let's start by saying how much we relate to Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo right now.
I know. I never had like the quite word for it.
I felt so seen. I'm like, demi-curious, semi, what is it again?
I don't remember.
Non-binary.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, it's beautiful. I think it's beautiful.
It was like a felt sensation of knowing exactly what it is.
Yes, without needing words.
And exactly. And so I was like, wow, that is our friendship.
Yeah, it is. And we're proud of it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I just feel like there is really no one besides my husband that knows me as well as you do.
This is true.
And
vice versa.
Really? You really say that about me?
Yes.
That I know you better than anybody?
Yes. And I don't have a husband, so you're probably number one.
So you don't have any idea when you say those things to me how good it makes me feel.
Oh, wow. I know. It's true. Although you were finding things out about me last night.
I know.
Always more to uncover.
Right. After 15 years, I was like, pause. I don't know this about you.
I know. It's true. We were talking about high school and where we're from. So
yeah.
We also had a whole age We went deep on age.
Megan does not want to accept the fact that she's going to be 60 one day.
No. Like, or the current age.
It horrifies you. Like the look on your face yesterday. You were like talking about TikTokers and I was like not even paying attention. I was like, well, yeah, that's because we're old. And you were like, we are? I'm like, yeah, we're old. We are? I was like, yeah. And I turned and I looked at your face and you looked like horrified. You were like, I can't accept this.
I know.
But I love getting older.
No, I don't mind getting old and feeling amazing for my age. It's just more of like, that means I'm going to get even older. And that's where I fell off the cliff
but
a little.
I feel like we're, as a society, as a culture, getting younger as we get older. Like, think about when we were little and like 44, when I was 7, was like, that was old. And granted, that's context and vantage point. But if you really look at the way modern science and health and biohacking, like I saw Mark Hyman talk a couple of years ago. I think I told you about this at Summit, the Summit series, and Mark Hyman spoke. And I remember he just gave this huge talk on like the advancement of science and technology when it comes to health and wellness. And he was like, I'm going to fucking live to 100. He's probably in his late 60s now. And he's like, and I'm going to feel amazing my entire life.
I love that you implant this program into your head to accept your aging, which is like great.
I feel better at 44 than I've ever fucking.
No, no, 100. It's just something like nostalgic. And I don't really live in the past. I'm not one to like dwell. It's just like, oh, wow, our 30s. Like that's, it's just something like we'll never have that again.
I know.
And there's something just beautifully bitter and sweet about that too.
But it gets better as it gets older. That's what I feel.
No, I know. I know. Exactly. I can slip into that program too. I mean, I feel, I look great. Like I feel good. Yeah. Things are going great too. It's like just when you realize how old, I guess like a 28 year old was born. And I kind of feel the same as them.
Yeah.
And
let's be real. You are still 28.
Yeah. We, you know, exactly. The vibration is the same.
Megan's like, so Jessica, like the other day we're in the kitchen. She's like, so do you know all the words that the Gen Zs are saying now? Like, I got to teach you. I was like, let's go. I, like, okay, outside.
Yes.
Explained outside. And I still didn't really fully understand.
I know. We'll use it in this episode sometime.
Oh.
Because okay. You're very outside.
Let's go there now. What does that mean?
You're out. Like, you are not afraid to show up.
Okay.
And be out and be seen. That's my interpretation.
Okay.
And people have eras, right? Where, oh, wow, she's really outside. Mm. She's really can be in the spotlight, let people see and know her. And we go through like different eras of that too.
I don't think I've never had an era where I'm not outside though.
You have.
Which one?
The era when you moved to Nashville and I came and I saw you.
That's true.
And you were like, I haven't left my house.
Oh, I was dark.
You were in a, yeah.
Yeah.
Almost like a depression era.
That was my depression. Yeah. I've talked about that in the podcast.
Yeah.
Where I really recoiled and retreated and wintered, which was definitely the situational depression, but it was also me disconnecting from a big city like Chicago and coming down to this weird part of Nashville I'd never known existed that was on 10 acres of land. And I was sleeping on a master bedroom floor that was the first floor. I reference this a lot because it's an important detail. And it was the first time in my life I'd ever slept on the earth versus sleeping in a concrete cinder block, 37 floors up.
I know.
In an elevator building.
The ground floor.
Ground floor is real.
Wow.
It changed.
Who knew?
Who knew? It's like completely recalibrating to your nervous system. You're sleeping on the Schumann resonance. You're sleeping on the earth. And that's when it all fell apart.
I think too, outside is like, you don't give a fuck about like to please anyone but yourself, you know?
That
so
is true.
You, one could be very outside, but they're still doing it to be liked or they're still doing it for, you know, kudos, you know? And so to be outside, this is like, I'm totally running with this like one Cardi B song and the saying of it. So this is my interpretation of it. But we all have these moments of being outside.
I love that. Thank you for saying that.
Should we get into some of the questions?
Let's get into the... Megan has prepared questions.
Yeah, so I have them on my phone. So I was like, Jess,
First we have to talk about our outfits, please.
Oh, yes.
This is your idea.
Yes, I was like, let's do like a channel Call Her Daddy.
Yes.
Pod where we're very comfortable in obviously matching blue and pink sweatsuits. Any reason to go to Aritzia and buy sweatsuits? Spend too much money on them.
Way too much money. I was like, do we get the American Eagle or do we get, let's go for the Aritzia.
I know, exactly.
And we're going to keep them. And I wore my hoop earrings to channel like someone cool.
I like them.
Thank you.
Yes.
And point being is this is going to be a very different type of podcast.
You know, I was like, oh my God, of course. A small part of me was like, this shows maybe some of my own like little girl still here. But I was like, I have to be the blue. I have to be the boy. I have to be the masculine.
No, you didn't. Really?
I had that thought.
You wanted the blue.
No, I mean, blue looks better on me, I think. Also, no, I'm just.
Blue looks great on you. And yes. I'm actually wishing I got blue because I don't really wear pink. But now I have something pink in my closet, which I could stand to have.
No, they're so fun. I'm so glad that we're in them.
Yes, we could stay here all day.
Yes.
I never want you to leave. Ever.
She's still campaigning for the move.
You know, let's just go there and then we'll get to your questions. I will say this in front of my entire audience. It's hard being away from you. You are my closest person next to Brian. And we used to live a 5-minute Uber ride away from each other. And we lived that way for most of our friendship. We've been friends for 15 years or longer.
And 15.
Is it 15?
Yep. Yep.
Wow. That's a feat.
Yeah.
That's an incredible accomplishment.
Yeah.
And in the last 2 years since I permanently moved to Nashville, because I was spending only half the year here. I was 6 months in Chicago, 6 months in Nashville. So I would see you all the time. To go from like seeing you all the time to seeing you 3 to 5 times a year really was devastating and hard for me. And we went through a lot of rupture and repair and new agreements around it all. And I have 99% surrendered to you not moving here. And that being a reality. But there is 1% that still really is holding out hope that you will.
I really understand that. I think when we moved away from each other, it's just a completely different, the energetics of the weave,
yep.
of the get-togethers, of the being together.
It's like a long-distance relationship.
Right?
Yes.
And you can never, you just take for granted, like, hey, you want to hang out? And then it's gone.
Yes.
And you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yes.
You know it. But you don't know until you actually feel it.
Feel it.
It's not there.
Correct.
And then when you spend time with someone for 5 days, you know, it's just a completely different
right.
flow and the way that time is spent. And we're like not the best on the phone or FaceTime. It's not good.
We have to
like, it's not as good.
It's not as good. I mean, we make the time to do it. I think we stay up to date with each other as much as possible, but it's kind of impossible to be up to date when you're like, our lives have gone in completely different directions.
Right.
You're nomadic, living out of a suitcase in a storage locker in a different bed every other week. And I just planted roots in a permanent home in Nashville with my husband and 2 dogs. And you're single. You know what I mean? Like, you're global, eclectic. I am, like, rooted, like, linear in that sense. And when we do spend 5 days together, like, we were talking about this just the other day. I'm like, you're telling me some story about conversation you had, I think, with, like, your therapist or whatever. Referral.
The somatic experience.
Yes. And I was listening to him. I was like, the amount of things that happen to you and to I on a daily basis that we don't know, that I feel is significant, that I miss, that I like literally miss and I miss. Does that make sense?
100%.
And so we do so well when we're together and we catch up and we drop in and it's so nourishing. It's sort of like, it's like when you go on vacation and you get spray tan or tan from the sun, I should say, and you get that vitamin D in your body for 5 days and it lasts for like months. You know, you get charged. Like, that's how I feel when we're together, but it's still not enough.
Well, in friendships, it's like a best friend. It's like the gold of it is when there's just the being around each other.
Correct.
And you can't do that in a long distance or far away. So you have to plan for it. Yes. And like the doing nothing together, the just knowing like stupid things. Like, as I've gotten older, I appreciate those things, honor those things. It's not always effortless with someone. I went to Jessica's energy healer yesterday, this new woman in Nashville who's quite amazing.
Yes.
And she brought you up and she's like, I understand why you and Jessica need to be connected because there's a knowing of each other in like multiple dimensions in many ways.
Yeah.
And that familiarity is so rare, you know? So we have found this like sort of cosmic connection.
Well,
Twin flame connection.
We should get into that at some point.
Yes, exactly. But I have questions.
Okay, let's
to ask
go.
You.
Okay, I keep interrupting you.
Okay, okay.
This is your show, not mine today.
No, this is going to be fun. So basically, I was like, let me ask Jay-Z questions. So here's my first question. Being that this is the first podcast of 2026.
In my new studio.
Wait, how fun
how
is this?
How dope is this?
Okay. So what is something that you are ready to let go of as you move into 2026? What's something that you're going to leave in 2025? You've left in 2025.
Wow, it was the year of the snake, as you know. So a lot of things shed in its own right. But what's coming to me when you love this question, when you asked it, was good. Call myself out here. The show is called The Spiritual Hustler. It was inspired by my burnout, me being super addicted to working, hyper-focused on doing. And it's still a pattern. I still really am ruled by my schedule and get really tired and fatigued and bitchy and overwork myself in the name of, you know, success and abundance. And I had a really tough season with this move. Like these last few months were really hard on my system. And I really didn't talk too much about it. Between like the last eclipse portal in September, I had some issues with my dogs. Brian and I had massive, massive stress financially. I just family drama over the holidays. Like there was just a lot of stuff that really challenged my soul. And I feel like to go back to the outside reference, I choose myself a lot and I play out loud and I don't do it for anyone but myself. And it's authentic and I'm designed to be outside, I guess. But I really want to be on my own side and take care of myself more than I've ever taken care of myself in my life. Like I had a moment a couple weeks ago, kind of when I was in the depths of all of this, where I was like, what if your reality was never like this again? Like, what if you actually never felt this way in your body ever again in your life? What would that require? And I think that's my work in 26.
I totally resonate with that, as I think a lot of people can. And one of the things I think for you, being your best friend and knowing you, is that why you've gotten to the point of understanding it's inside change is because, you know, when you had the agency, mm-hmm. you could blame the agency and then you could blame
Chicago
and whatever, or then the book tour, and then I have to do this. And now I think you kind of realize like you are the one creating all of this, you know, and you actually have an addiction mm-hmm. to that piece of it that you haven't really unpacked yet for yourself.
You know, what's been ringing in my head the last few weeks is that quote by Zen, wherever you go, there you are.
Yeah.
Like I moved to Nashville because I immediately felt so different and it did dissolve a lot of my, that timeline and that identity and the simply be bright yellow, blonde hair, fake eyelash. Like that was this avatar that was very much authentic for a long time in Chicago. And then I came down here and I was like, country music, rolling hills, Southern hospitality. Like I fell in love with the flavor of this community in the city. And I was like, this is the frequency in which I want to tap into. And this year was so busy, I barely could. It's wherever you go, there you are. So sure. It's not the place. It's an inside job. So thanks for asking that question and making me share something I didn't think I would share.
I know. Well, this is just the beginning with the questions. What is something that you have a very like deep desire for, a personal yearning that you feel so vulnerable sharing? And actually, you really might not be able to pull this up until this moment because it feels so vulnerable to actually share.
Well, I did have something drop in. It feels random, but it's just the first thing that came to me. So I might as well say it. I think I would love to tap into my sexuality more. Like I'm intrigued by like pole dancing and tantra and like really, really understanding that part of my identity as a woman. Like I have a great sex life. I love my husband. I'm super attracted to him. That department in my life is good, but it's not even about him. It's like, how can I meet myself in that way and push my own edges? I'm very business. I'm very spiritual, like very women empowerment. Like those are the tenets of my brand and my life and my design. That is something that just doesn't really get looked at in a way that I look at everything else, those things in such intensity and intention. That's what dropped in. And I think, you know, like we all do as women have blocks there. And I've never really said that out loud, but it's a very deep, quiet yearning that I've had.
I remember we went to Glastonbury Avalon for a retreat that we led together. And for me at that place, it was like when I was starting to understand the codes, I became very interested in the codes of the power of sexuality, because I think there's a lot of amazing women doing a lot of amazing work out there. Now, I have my own trauma to heal, so it didn't feel safe. But I also feel like there's a lot of distortion of it. So I was like, well, where is it as the purest form? Mm-hmm. So I can really go inwards with that in a way. But I also understand like the first question of you and the hustle, like I think to touch our own sexuality, it's from such a different frequency and one has to really release the other to find this. You moving toward your desires and needs, baby, is going to be
2026.
I know. Exactly. I'm very excited. We could do like a part two.
We should.
I think of you as someone who knows how to build brands. You've built it for yourself. You've built it for your agency. You've built it for your clients. But I actually think you think bigger. You think in legacy. And I don't think, and I think you think of your clients in legacy. I just don't know if you use those words all of the time, but it's actually how you're coded. And can you speak a little bit about, can you speak into that? About legacy versus branding and where you sit with that and how you really understand your own legacy.
Look at you, interviewer. These are great questions. I am very impressed. I really appreciate this question. You know, where as you were talking, granted this be the microdose that we just took, shout out to Christy Nall and Microflow. I started seeing what I saw when I did Bufo, which is like, go with me here. Okay, I'm going to bring it back to the question. Where we really live in like an infinite, ever-evolving, never-ending, expansive, limitless universe. And we incarnate here on this planet for a microcosm of time. If we're lucky, 80 years, 60, 90.
Maybe 100, maybe like you're referencing.
Or less, right? Like some people have
short
lives. And we came here to evolve our souls through contract and through contrast, through relationship and through polarity. And really what I think we're all coming home to in this new kind of earth that I speak about all the time, and this is what that medicine taught me, is that it's all love. Like the building block of the consciousness of the universe is love. And we are designed to love as humans, but we come into this earth school and we instantly forget that, right? Through our parenting, our conditioning, just the dimension of the 3D. And so to build brand is a microcosm of the macrocosm. It's basically creating a connection to your own unique fingerprint, like your own, your actual
signature
that you get to define through branding, call it words, messaging, colors, look, feel, tone, content, impact. And that has a ripple effect that carries a weight when you come into alignment, which is what I talk about all the time with your brand. You create coherence with your highest self. And your highest self is that loving being essence of you that is the expression of your truest, highest joy and loving heart. And when we can bring that into form in brand and 3D in business, on social media and content and offers, that creates a ripple effect of more love in your own unique signature that is your legacy in your own unique way. So it's playing a much bigger game. And I think people take themselves for granted of how truly important and impactful every single one of us is here on planet Earth. We all play a role in this consciousness evolution. And people are, we're living in a projection field, as we often say with Instagram and with social, that like, well, if I don't have a big following or if I don't have a big business, like I'm less relevant to that consciousness evolution, or I won't leave as big of a legacy, or I don't have a legacy. And I just think all of that is so 3D programmed consciousness that doesn't serve the destiny of Gaia.
Yeah, it's so true. Thank you for, I love the how you map that too. And like, is part of the program for us, like if we can detach from a legacy, from how the lasting effects, how impactful we are, then we are okay being a throwaway culture. We are okay disregarding ourselves because we can't see the vibration or we can't see the impact. But if we all really anchored into that and thought about that, you know, and I think of us, this is someone like getting a bunch of like having a big impact is different for me. Like, I'd rather be like, what comes to mind is like, I really want to be nice to the person in the grocery store that I'm in.
I know that. I love that about you.
In the front of the checkout line.
That's so beautiful.
But it's the same impact.
It is the same impact.
Because then they'll be nice to the next person. Right. It's not about just being nice. And I always think when you were talking about love, like the fucked up crazy thing about 3D, about this 3D experience is that we don't know love if we don't know what like not loving is. We don't know the light without
Correct.
The dark.
Correct.
And it's a lot.
This is going to sound kind of fucked up, but like, there is a sweetness to pain in the way that I sometimes experience it, because I know that I'm evolving. I know that I'm growing. Like, I just had a big, as you know, massive, unfortunate breakdown with a family member. And it is so painful. And my heart is bleeding right now. And yet there is an exquisiteness to it because I recognize that it is teaching me lessons.
Right.
It is refining my capacity to hold my own sovereignty while opening up my capacity to feel. Like, I am very clear, and partially because I've done my work, but I know I have more work to do, that there's medicine in the surrendering to the outcome. And I can really hold that the outcome, even though it's really painful, and it's definitely been co-created by me and this family member, I'm not pointing fingers, that there is something
I'm holding the vision. I get to hold the vision nonetheless in this pain, that there is something beautiful on the other side of it.
Well, you know, it's definitely like, what do they say? It's happening for us, not to
us. Yes, yes.
But I feel like, and if I can just use this like example, because I've been with you through this, like, and this is true for me, it's like, I think you changed your tune on that and got to this place when you realized you kind of like turned the focus back on yourself. And then it's amazing because there's so many possibilities. And there is. It's like you can literally feel your cells evolving and growing because you shined a light in an area in a way that you hadn't considered yet. And like that is the way we grow. And this whole thing, so Jess referenced that I went nomadic at the beginning of the year. So about a year ago in February, they were selling the place I was renting in Chicago, and I just couldn't get another lease in Chicago. It didn't feel aligned. And so through another, you know, medicine journey I had done like 5 months before that, I was like, I had asked what my purpose was. I had sat, I was like, I'm ready to know my purpose. And what I was and shown and how I interpreted that was like, your purpose is to let go of anything you have control over, anything you have, you're attached to, and surrender, which felt like, I was like, what the fuck? It felt such, so like, it's not what I was expecting. And so opposite of this narrative of purpose that I've been fed.
Yeah.
And so I sold all my things, put my stuff in storage, clothes in storage. I kept like clothes and crystals and have been like living in Airbnbs out of suitcases with friends.
Speaking of surrender, tell everyone what happened to you just a week or two ago with your jewelry.
Oh, yeah. You'll see that I'm not wearing the main pieces because I was flying back from Cancun to Chicago, and I've learned a lesson, but my jewelry was stolen out of my checked suitcase. It was like all my amazing spiritual gold items.
Over like almost $6,000 worth of gold jewelry.
Yes.
From Egypt, from Avalon, from sacred gifts people have given you.
Yes, like you gave me.
I know. And it all got stolen out of, like, basically Megan checked her bag at the gate. It went through security. She got on the plane. She comes home and her bag had been rifled through and her jewelry gone.
Yep.
Which is so fucking violating. And I was so upset for you because this is like our twin flame heart, which we have to talk about our twin flame.
Yeah, you could feel
it. But I was like, I felt like my jewelry had gotten stolen.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I was so distressed for you.
Yeah.
And the way that you were able to alchemize that, I was like, checked in with you a couple of days later. You're like, I've surrendered. Like, there's a lesson here. Like,
yes,
I mean, you can explain it, but I was just amazed at how fast you were able to get there.
This is the whole thing of being nomadic, which has been so disruptive. It's so dysregulating not to have like a rooted place. I've had to adjust my plans somewhat to have a little bit more just nourishment in the ways that I like move through the world. But I've pretty much given up things. I've made my life so efficient. And it was so sad. I was so alone. I was like, what the fuck am I doing? But the way that I kept learning about myself and life and alignment and things that are not in alignment. I mean, it was like a spiritual masterclass, like an evolution masterclass in the last year. And because of that, I've really understood like what we can control is our own energy and the ways that we deal with things. It's like a superpower, which we all know. And so I have just become really good and nimble at letting things go and not holding on to things and looking for the spiritual significance and also just understanding. Because if I needed something when I was traveling, I would be like, well, I can just buy the exact same thing again. Like I kind of realized I had these rules about this is the thing and this is where it goes. And if I get one, I can't get another. And I just learned like you can replace things. Like, and so that's what I could open up to. And Mexico has been such a place for me that's given me, it's my body feels so good there. And I'm so connected to that land. And like, if it was an exchange, although, you know, if there was a way that I needed, because it's given me a lot, if I need to give something there to be in right relationship, like if that's it, like it's, I'm gladly surrender.
I want to double click into what you, I don't know if everyone's understanding exactly what you are saying with this. Can I?
Yes,
just
please.
Teach. So basically what Megan is saying, this is actually a beautiful thing you brought into this conversation that I try to walk and practice and look at and look for that you just named. Megan's been going down to Mexico for the last however many years, healing, doing her beautiful scooter life freedom and meeting all these beautiful friends, healing her body, nervous system, doing the sound baths, doing to the DJs, doing the yoga. Like, Megan has gotten so much out of Mexico. Like, she is, like, it has resourced her. It's taken, you've taken from it to benefit you and in beautiful ways. And you were saying that me losing my jewelry, having that stolen in some dimension, there was actually a calling for reciprocity and more right relationship with the land.
Yes.
And even though that person who stole it has a shadow and will have bad karma, that there was some higher pull that required you against your own will to come into that right relationship. That's the lens in which you look. You're like, well, I've gotten so much out of this country. If what it's going to take from me in return is my jewelry, that I've learned to like detach and surrender from most things at this point, being nomadic for the last year, and let that be it. It sucks, but lesson learned. And I actually feel more maybe complete or whole that it was recalibrated and balanced.
Exactly.
Did I say that correctly?
Yeah. You nailed it. And I remember, and this is kind of the same lens, same teaching, to Tulum. I usually like spend a few months there in the winter. When I went down there last winter, I was really thinking about, is this a place I'd want to move to or just spend more time? And I met with a teacher who I think is just a full medicine woman. She's from Mexico and she's older. And she's like, she basically was like, Meg, you can't just come here, rent the place and call it yours. You have to start asking. You have to start communicating.
For permission.
You have to start giving offerings.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even from the you have to, if that makes sense. Like her frequency was just teaching. And I was like, oh, wow. Like there's just a way that in our culture, I mean, I'm so guilty of it too. What can I get? And the more, and I think that our teacher and friend Lauren really moves with this and has taught us this, but like, the more that we can have an energetic exchange and the more that we're conscious to that, mm-hmm. and we brought that into our friendship as well, mm-hmm. you know, with what our needs are. Mm-hmm. And so then you have to be in touch with yourself and what you're giving and taking. But there's just laws around that, right?
There is laws around that. Can I share one quick thing? I think I shared this with you that I haven't shared on the show, but we moved into this house about a month ago. This house is on 5 acres of like Cherokee land and Chickasaw land from like the indigenous people of Tennessee before it was colonized. And my husband and I have bought this parcel land. We built this big fancy house. It has been so many logistics, so many moving, so many details, furniture, lighting. Is the wallpaper coming on time? The fixture isn't right. We have to make sure that the bookshelf looks great. Like it's been very 3D, like materialized focus, at least I'll own that my vibration had been unconsciously. And I moved in. And in the first week, I broke a glass all over my kitchen counter, like all over my floor. We opened a bottle of Clicquot on the very first night we were here to celebrate. We don't even drink, but like we got a bottle just to commemorate it. I'm really good at opening bottles of champagne. It popped open. It slipped out of my hand, the cork, and it spilled all over our furniture. Champagne on our first night here. A couple days later, I was opening up a coffee bag. I ripped it too hard and the coffee grounds went all over my scantry. And then a couple days after that, I was walking up the steps. I have these beautiful stucco, white stucco, like sculpted staircase that I wanted to put in there because I wanted it to look like a temple. And I was wearing slippers that were too big and I tripped, fell, cut my knee. It was bleeding and I spilled black coffee all over my stucco stairs, stained it. It's still not out. I felt an energies like fucking with me. Cause I'm like, I'm messy, but I'm not clumsy. I'm not a klutzy person. Never have been. I'm like, what is going on? It felt like I was being pushed. And I got this clear voice. I heard the beings of this land, the guardians of this land. And they were like, we have been trying to get your attention. Mm-hmm. And we haven't been able to do it with your husband because he wouldn't be able to hear us, but you can. And the long story short is I grabbed all of these sacred things and I went out on the land and I made an offering. I apologize. I asked for permission. I was humble. I closed my eyes. I saw them. There were hundreds of them. Like there are sentient beings on this land and spirit beings on this land. And the net is that I haven't had any accidents since. Like literally, like it feels completely different. Like they're like, okay, you understand. Like it is a relationship.
I will be interesting how that relationship continues.
I can't
too.
Wait. Yeah. I feel very
progress and grow.
Very, what's the word? Responsible.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm glad we went there.
I know. And I have like a a lot of questions.
Let's go. Oh, so, my God. Okay. Let's keep going.
So let's keep going. Okay, this is a great one. So, oh my God, my questions are so great. Okay, so a lot of your clients in retreats are women. A lot of your feminine frequency business school are women. Your one-to-one, your VIP clients, a lot of women.
Oh.
And the question that I have is that, and I think I'm curious what you, how you've navigated this, is that a lot of those times those clients become friends, or those women on the retreats become friends. How do you navigate being someone's coach and then they want to be your friends? And how do you create boundaries? When do you, how do you decide what level you let people in? How does that, and I know you've actually been, you're continuing to sort this out for yourself. So
yes.
I know you don't have the final answer.
Yes, it actually, I would say that there are two schools of thought. You can't be friends with your clients. And the other school of thought is you absolutely can. And I think that I transitioned from agency owner to coach, working with women who are now peers and my, the kinds of women, I should say, that I would want to be friends with, even if they weren't my clients, right? Like, I don't really work with women that I don't love. Like, I call in a frequency match. So we're all like the same spirited sister soul. So it has been a, it has been a learning for me. It has been a fine line for me in certain moments, but I feel like you attract what you are. You attract what you are. And I track women that are reflections of the woman I already am and also the woman I want to be too. You know, they see something in me. I obviously, going back to what we were saying about reciprocity, it's not just like I give, 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 like I receive too. Mm-hmm. And so I think longevity plays a role. Like, I think you have to stay the course and be in relationship. And like, not every woman that comes to my retreats texts me and stays in contact with me. Some of them do. And those are the women that I respond to and yeah, reciprocal in that way. I also have learned better boundaries that like there is a beginning and an end to this container as coach and client. Yeah. And it's honestly a gift at times when it ends.
Sure.
Because I get to be friends.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't feel obligatory anymore in any way, even though I don't mind it being obligatory. I love to serve. You know, it's my work in the world. But that has actually been on the other side of the business growing over these last 2 years, some of the biggest challenges and the greatest gifts, because I can look around at the women, and you've been at pretty much all my retreats.
No.
And I can say that, like, I can name on fingers and toes now a network of women from those retreats that are my
sisters. Right.
And that doesn't mean we talk all the time and are besties, but like, we know.
Yeah.
You know, they know, I know. And it's so beautiful to have that alchemy, you know?
Yes.
Does that answer the question?
Definitely. I was thinking about it for myself, because I think when I'm in producing a retreat, I'll always put myself as the retreat leader first. Like, that comes first and foremost, before any other needs, before any other personal relationships. Like, that's the job that I'm designed to do. And sometimes, in some instances, being a good girlfriend is the medicine that's needed.
Correct.
Sometimes really pulling myself back and having it be a little more transactional is the way that it best operates as a whole.
Yeah.
So there's no right answer. And I feel like I'm always kind of navigating what that is and what that looks like. And yeah, then, you know, for our retreats, like when we go to, we do things like abroad, like
Avalon,
then we were really amongst everybody.
Yeah.
So it's always like a balancing act.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know what the right answer is, but I appreciate like the leaning into things, you know,
yeah,
that we do. Like,
yeah,
it's, I think one of the things that people have said, like, at the retreat, I don't know who said it, but it was, they were surprised that like for dinners that we just jumped in the van and we went along with them and we hung out with them.
Yeah.
You know, it's, we're amongst everybody.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yes.
Which I think is really makes it magical.
It's what makes it magical.
Right?
It makes all the
just
difference.
The beingness.
Correct.
All right, my friends, if you are listening to this podcast, I know that you know that the Matrix is bullshit. And yet it has gotten its hooks into so many of us, looping us into stress and scarcity and survival. And I can say this because I speak from deep experience. But here's the truth: your cells, your body, your systems, your life
was built for brilliance, not burnout and fear. It is time, sister, to deprogram the deep programs that have been running your life for most of your life. And Microflow microdose mushrooms is your key. Now, these are high vibe, organic, Reiki infused blends designed to support your nervous system, your menstrual cycle, your psyche, and your physical body in breaking free from it all. Microflow isn't just a magic mushroom microdosing company. Microflow is different. It is a soul technology. It's founded by Christy Nault as the only cycle syncing microdose protocol made for women to balance divine masculine and divine feminine energy on the market. The Exude blend activates your radiance, heart opening, bold expression, and full aliveness. I love to take Exude during my follicular and ovulation phases of my cycle. And then there's Surrender, which softens your system into deep rest, healing, and fertile reconnection. And I love to take Surrender during my luteal and menstrual phases. Now, if you want to tap into even higher states of consciousness, pick up a bottle of Theta with Egyptian Blue Lotus, which Christy says, and I've experienced this personally working with it, is a portal not into 5D realms, but 7D realms. When you use it in ceremony, channeling, ecstatic dance, or breath work, trust me, you are going to have an unforgettable life-changing activation. And when you purchase Theta, you're going to get Christy's full 4-hour guided breathwork experience for free. Microflow isn't about escaping. It's about alchemizing your life, your business, your relationships, your health, your vitality into more freedom. I would not have the life that I have, the business that I have, the team that I have, the body that I have, the marriage that I have, and the joy that I have if it wasn't for using Microflow consistently every single week of my life for the last 3 years. So visit microflowhealing.com now and use code Jessica10 at checkout for $10 off your order. Visit microflowhealing.com today to pick up your blends, and do not miss Christy's free 2.5-hour microdosing masterclass. Your sovereignty begins now. Okay, you guys, you know that I am all about the rituals, the energy, the practices that keep us in touch with the divine and our power, the things that we can add to our life that really, really remind us who we are. And one of my favorite rituals, pretty much every morning, true story, is putting on my Malkari jewelry, okay? Because honestly, these pieces are not just jewelry. They are activated sacred talismans that honestly help me lead with a consciousness as a confident woman in my business and my life. They are seriously activations, you guys. When you put them on, not only are they gorgeous and versatile and they stack and there's so many options to choose from, they are spiritual activations. And that's really because the founder of Malkari is my best friend and stylist, Tali Kogan, who is a visionary woman in the world of fashion who lives by the belief that you can have anything in life that you want as long as you dress for it. And I am here to preach from the mountaintops that that is true. And so when I wear her pieces, I feel freaking unstoppable. Yes, they're edgy and high fashion. They'll take your cutest little outfit or your t-shirt and jeans to absolutely new heights, but they're also deeply spiritual. Each necklace, each ring, each bracelet is a code. And like the lion of Malkari roaring through you, it reminds you that you are already the queen of your own business in your life. When you put them on, you're going to feel a difference. And if you're curious, which I know you are, to up your style game and your frequency, check the link in the show notes and use the code Jessica15 for 15% off your order. Because it's not often that accessories feel like medicine, and Malkari is feminine power you can wear.
Okay, moving on. Oh, by the way, I asked ChatGPT AI, I said, you could ask Jessica Zweig anything. I'm going to get a chance. What would it say? And so it says, this is from AI. Jess, What is the one truth about your mission that you still hesitate to say out loud, even though your soul has been screaming it at you for years?
Oh my God, I feel like I'm pretty out loud about my mission. What's the one thing about my mission that I haven't shared yet that's screaming at me? I have time traveled back to the like ancient civilizations of the matriarch, where it wasn't just like women ruled the world. We were in equilibrium with the masculine, and everything we've just actually been talking about reciprocity, right? Relationship with the earth, the land, with the sentient beings, whether it's the animals, the trees, the sacred energies of planet Earth, was God, was religion, what everything and everyone oriented to. And that is why there was harmony. And that was how humanity actually birthed and was able to thrive. And that's why there's so many fucking people here, like all these eons later, because they knew how to do it. And then this is my galactic talk. There was a fight for Earth, dark and light. And I have this theory that there was a glitch in the matrix, like quite literally there was a disruption where dark forces came and flipped the script, and the masculine rose and the feminine was oppressed. And it's really why this place has become so challenging and dysregulated and traumatic. And so I hold a vision. I hold a world in maybe my lifetime, probably not, that brings back the ancient matriarchal codes of goddess culture, not only in service to women, but to the world, that just allows us to thrive in a level that we don't even know yet. Like, yeah, that we can't even touch it or see it because it's so far beyond our like current reality. That's what I think I'm really here for.
Isn't that cool? You're like discovering it out like real time. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so fun and everyone's coming along with you. It's like, too, you know, the feminine and the masculine, and this isn't like women and men. It's just that that's so imbalanced. And I always think it's like with what you're talking about, you know, you're in theories around the dark forces coming, the glitches. And I'm like, I always like go so far out, because it's like, what if actually instead that was like it was necessary for the feminine to find itself? Like, you know what I mean? It like plays out.
I actually see that. It's so hard to describe. I actually see the loops. I see the spiral,
dude,
of how it had to unravel and spiral back to find itself.
And that's how it's gonna go again. I mean, that's the same thing about light and dark. I mean, it's just a dance that evolution is in, and we're as much the dark forces that came in as we are the feminine rising, you know? I think if we can balance to be with that all and not be one-sided, is where consciousness and evolution is headed.
I love this.
I get a little nervous about this stuff, about just like cameras and microphones. That's why I asked to be in sweats, so we can be like chill. like you're kind of made for this, the actress in you. Like, I have it in me, but it's just a little bit, like, I still know there's a camera.
I've totally forgotten there's cameras.
I know you did.
They're even recording still.
I know. I hope they are.
They are.
Okay, good. Well, I feel like I'm doing like.
You're doing an amazing job.
We're doing
job.
Great. Okay, because this next one, ladies and gentlemen. So what is your actual kink in life? Not sexually, but like.
Yeah, my actual kink in life. My kink. Megan. True confessions here in the Spiritual Hustler podcast studio. My actual kink in life is. I mean, I was going to say my nasal spray, but that's more of a vice. I would say my kink in life, what really like turns me on, I'm going to be really honest, like empowerment. Yes. Like no, but like,
what are you laughing?
Were you going to say powerful?
Like, I love, gosh, this is a really good question. I'm trying to find the right words for it.
She had no idea. I said, do you want me to tell you the temperature of these questions?
No.
She wanted to know nothing. So
I think I get so turned on by seeing women in their power, and I know I'm in my power. It's like turns me on when I like stick the landing, like when I get the book deal, or like, this will make me sound very goal oriented, but like, I like eating what I kill. I love being an entrepreneur.
Yes,
I love growth. I love impact. I love scale. I love success metrics. Like, that stuff turns me on. It's kink. It's like,
yeah, that's great.
It's a kink.
Yeah, you like to win.
I like to win.
She sets a goal, and
that's right.
If it's 97% of the goal, it's a fail. And this is a beautiful thing and a dark
and
thing.
A very dark.
Because exactly. But you do, yeah. You're gonna build the stage, and then you like to be on the stage and the full production of it.
And I can see it within 5 fucking seconds. I get like a download of like iridescent cosmic droplet from the Palladians, and I like see a whole fucking world and it's already done and it's done and I do it and it's done.
Yes. No, it's a true, it's something like I've never seen before. The speed at which you get the download, which you know it's done. And the impact, though, that it has is that your body has impacted.
We were talking about that the other night.
Absolutely. And like I always say, I think I said this the other day, it's like, I'm out here to like give the Pleiadians some feedback because they're not aware of quite.
They don't give a fuck about bodies, human bodies.
Exactly.
They don't give a fuck about their mission.
Right. Exactly.
And I accepted their invitation because I'm one of them. And they're like, okay, great. She can play our game and she can be our, we can use her as a steward of the mission of bringing more light consciousness into this planet. The Pleiadians are light,
right?
But they're not 100% clean either.
Exactly.
Right. They have their own agenda.
Exactly.
And they want to win. They want to beat the dark.
Yeah.
And it's still a fight. It's still a you versus me, right? Us versus them. And they seed people who have a connection to that consciousness, to that mission as well in their own way. And they're like, okay, great. We can, like Lauren would say, our coach, like, they're the player, we're the gamer, we've got the control, and we're going to tell the humans, like, we're going to influence the humans on how fast and how hard to run because this mission is everything. And I feel that in my own soul as well. There is a physical cost on bodies that don't claim their own sovereignty from that.
Yep, exactly.
And yeah, that's what you were saying.
And I think because we're twin flame and not being connected to the Pleiadians, mm-hmm. I'm always going to root for Jessica, the soul of Jessica.
I know you are.
And so I'm like, I was like, just, we were in a journey the other day and I was like, I think they're using you and everything. And I was like,
and I could not disagree with you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I feel like is like emerging for you is you're starting to separate yourself from, you've separated yourself from so many programs, but there's another underlying program. That's why it's your kink, because it feeds the kink.
Kink, exactly.
And so it's not wrong. It's just to be awareness of it. You're expanding your awareness.
I'm totally aware of it.
And your body, uh-huh. And I've entered my body. We're in bodies now, which really means that we lived in our heads and sort of disassociated more. And we would be in our bodies, but to do quick workouts and to, it wasn't an embodying sense. And now that we can feel ourselves, and we have a different relationship.
Right. And I mean, there was a time where I made my whole life around my kink.
Yeah.
Like it's still my kink, but it's not any my whole life anymore. Like I've separated it enough because of my work and awareness and embodiment and rootedness. And going back to what you asked me at the very beginning of like, what am I calling in for 26? And I was telling you, I was like, I don't ever want to feel this. What if my reality never brought me to this feeling ever again?
You hadn't told me that before. And it just opened up a whole new world of possibility.
It did.
I also just love you owning your kink. Like, because I think when like the more you can own it and not be shadow or I don't really care that much, like then you can get on the stage, you can do the thing, and then you can move into something else. You know what I mean? There's just more possibilities. You're just more agile with that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say your kink was control.
I think it's connected to
this. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
1,000%. Control is my like soul assignment. My soul assignment is to learn how to surrender. And what's the opposite of surrender is control.
Yes.
And I am so controlling. Ask Brian. Like it is really, it's not even just saying how I like tell my husband where to park the car. It's like, I actually get a little triggered in like a very healthy way, listening to you talk about how you've had to really like allow life to life in this nomadic year and what it's taught you and how spiritually evolved you fucking are now.
I feel that from you. Yeah.
I'm like, great. Megan's just like one more step ahead of me.
No. Oh my gosh. We could go there. I think that about you.
It's so, yeah. It's really.
Like it's just with the waves of the ocean.
Right. And fucking Aquarius. And I'm over here like.
I was going to say your control is very like outside, right? Like one knows it by the text, by the, you know, the tight control of the schedule.
How I
the
freak out at,
goes where.
I freak out at airports. I get massive anxiety at airports.
Yes.
Because talk about a place where you actually have no control at all.
I know.
That has actually been such a mirror to me.
Right.
My physical state inside of airports. Like, yo, Jessica, like this is a problem.
Send help. Like, send help.
I'm just joking. Like,
actual professional help.
I mean, we all have so much control. It's all from the safety of our childhood. Like, it's all how we managed
1,000%
the unhealed parts of us. And we've learned how to leverage that in such a powerful way to build business and be successful and do things and just get shit done.
No, I mean,
and it controls us.
Yes.
And my control is a little less loud. I still really have it, you know, and I was just saying when I was in Tulum like last month, it was like things don't start on time. The teacher switches. Oh, they're not selling what they, I mean, you just have to chill out. And I thought I was so chill. You know, I'm equally crazy down there. And it's just these little micro moments.
Right.
We're also, at, we expect life to work for us.
No.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, who do I think I am?
Well,
wait, wait, should we keep cruising?
Yeah, let's keep cruising.
Okay. If your higher self had to file a complaint against you, what would be the first bullet point?
My higher self had to file a complaint against me. I think she would just basically tell me to calm the fuck down.
Yeah, same lines with that.
I think she would tell me a few things. I think she would tell me to slow down. I think she would tell me to live in the moment more. I think she would tell me to drink my own Kool-Aid more around, you know, fun and joy and like really carving out more moments to be in the now. I think she would just tell me not to be so hard on myself.
Oh, she's so wise.
Yeah.
She's almost like an adoring mother.
Yeah.
So loving. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think she's also my little girl. It's like, hey, play with
me. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, just let's.
She wants it.
Can we just like,
attention?
Make, can we like play house?
Oh,
can we play make believe?
I love little Jessica.
I loved little Jessica too.
Yes.
She's really, really
special. She's got a lot of important things. Okay. Gosh, I have two. This is like a broader question. This is, we're taking a left turn here.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard the term about or online spiritual people being like the new celebrities.
Okay.
And it's just because I think with, you know, people searching,
yep,
people have platforms, people are finding themselves, they're finding things. Obviously, we're all allowed to like go through phases around things too.
Sure.
But there's also been falls of gurus. There's just been so much. And
yes,
I'm just curious, like, what you think about that. If you've noticed these trends, like, what your, yeah, great.
It's a great question.
Great.
I certainly have noticed all of it.
Yeah.
And it really upsets me, honestly, in a way, because it gives the work that I feel I am devoted to and in true integrity with a bad name. I feel like it is irresponsible at times. I think, let me back up and say that both parties, the guru and the guruizing,
yeah,
are both complicit and co-create like
so true
that dynamic.
So
like
true.
You got to check yourself before you wreck yourself and giving your sovereignty and power and idolizing someone to give you the answers that are always going to be within you. And so there is a co-creation of this in the world, right? It's both
parties. It's a dynamic.
It's a system.
It's basically
a system. I think that a couple things. I think that there are, somebody was saying how they knew somebody who had been terrorized, who was a very public person, who was called out in the media and ripped to pieces and their life was destroyed, and how painful it was for that person to witness their friend go through that because that person was a person.
Yeah.
And so while it's fun and kind of like gives you a kink in your terms to like watch that shit go down and gossip and talk and comment and troll or see who else is trolling, that things like this happen. And like there is a multifaceted, multidimensional, billions and billions of billions of cells that make up that person's being on a screen. And so I try and attune to that first, because I think that matters. I also feel there is a frequency to certain people, if you will, is not a frequency match for me.
Sure.
And I know why. And it is clarifying for me to really, truly stay my course, which is, you know, I think people listening in general, what my mission is, but I don't think I've ever said this, like, I have such a commitment to my own authenticity, to my own sincerity, to never, ever, ever forget like that I started from the bottom and now I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Like the people who follow me, buy my books, buy my programs, listen to the show, helped me create a very prosperous life. And I don't take that for granted. I will never fucking forget that or lose gratitude. And that is why I believe in reciprocity. That is why I lead from devotion, and probably why I actually over deliver and like never stop in a way, because I feel indebted in a way that just out of gratitude, and therefore my service in return, and the time I take to create shows and content and courses and experiences is like the true infinity loop I never want to break. And I feel that there are personalities that have completely lost sight of that, of like where their success has really come from, and it's gone to their head, and they guruize themselves. That has such a bad, like it leaves, like I can taste it in my mouth right now, like leaves such a bad taste in my mouth. I have such an aversion to it. Like, it's a very nuanced your question, so that's my opinion on it.
What I heard you responding to is just sort of from the lens of like being a consumer.
Yep.
And actually looking to people for listening, because we want knowledge and expansion, and then also feeling the responsibility of also being in front of someone and then building a brand in the space.
Right.
And so it is like nuanced in the ways that you look at it.
Right.
Right.
You have to actually like believe that you're special.
I know.
Like you do.
Yes.
Like you're just a fucking person.
And it's a really great fine line.
It's both.
So when Jess wrote her book, Lightwork, and I went on some of the stops with you last time, you looked at me and you said, Megan, if my head gets too big, please check me.
I did say that to you.
And I have felt a little fear because I was like, I don't know if you want me to check you, but I didn't need to check you. There was no checking to be done, because I think that when you, especially your retreats, and when you're in that space, when you come into teacher, you come into service, you're really there to serve. And it's just the game. You also play the game of book numbers and success because yes. You understand how to make the most impact. And if you have a book on a list, your message will get out there.
Right.
And so there's so many aspects. And I think that it could be like, to your point of like, you do have to have an ego. Like if someone's so unattached to their own power, it could be a trigger with you or anybody, right? I've certainly been there.
1,000%.
I've certainly looked at people and sat at their feet. I've certainly have done that to other mentors before. And then you go through stages of your life of finding your own voice, and then you feel peer-to-peer. But what's interesting, I was just thinking about you, is knowing you, like from, let's say we do an event where you feel particularly vulnerable leading a retreat, day one, it's opening. You will go into that, you'll tap in a little bit into that space of like, we're all gonna die. Like, you know, it is not gonna be okay. Like, no one's gonna like you, you're a fraud. Like, I don't think you really say that, all those things, but there is a level that like you just, it comes with the territory,
oh, yeah.
I think. And then at the same time, the next week you can go speak with really experts. And so you really do like move with it all.
You have to. It is like every day is a little different, and you're not the same person you are today that you were yesterday. Just life.
This is so true.
It's so really, when you think about it, you are not the same person today as you were yesterday, let alone last week, let alone last month, let alone last year, let alone like 5 years. So like literally you never kind of know what you're going to get in a way. And that's okay. I think that I really believe this is what I really want to say. Nobody knows what they're fucking doing. We're all making it up as we go.
It's true.
Everybody's insecure. Everyone doubts themselves. Everyone has a bit of imposter syndrome, probably a lot of imposter syndrome in ratio to their greatness. And it is the moments where you can tap into that, I believe, that truth of yourself, which is a given and exists in all of us, that keeps your feet on the ground and will never let you make your friend check
you. The truth of the being a little insecure.
Yes. And I think there's a shadow side to people who actually deny that part of themselves.
Absolutely.
Right?
Because you can feel it almost.
You can feel it.
Yeah.
That's really what's going on.
Yeah. Exactly.
That is
they're overcompensating.
They're 100% overcompensating.
And so it's hard to be with the humanness of the other people in the room because they're denying them so much.
There you go.
There we go. We're solving world problems.
Somebody needs to Those listen, play that part back, what Megan just said. That's it, right?
I know. That was so good. Well, actually, I know. And I just relate to it so much. Like, I've been DJing for 15 years or whatever. And I feel like my events, I actually can't tell my own reality. My events feel more bigger. I feel more pressure. And they are, like, I'm just getting to, like, different circuits and different crowds. The amount that I feel like I'm going to die and that I won't know what to play, every single event.
I'm the same way with my speaking engagements. I'm calling you. I'm freaking out. I'm like, why do I fucking do this? I don't want to get on stage. 100%. I'm a masochist. Like, why did I make this my career?
No,
hate my life. We both fall apart right before.
In May, I was like, I need a professional. I tried to hire. I had an emergency meeting with she's a professional level tennis coach. And I said, I'm in desperation. Can you please talk to me for 30 minutes? And she basically coaches people on mindset. And we had this conversation. I was like, this doesn't make sense. I feel like I'm going to die. And actually, I was going through a lot of anxiety being nomadic at that particular month. And she was like, she wrote me afterwards. She texted me. She's like, just remember, like, you just can breathe and you'll be okay. And then that's when I realized I don't need this woman. But the level at which anxiety that I have felt and dealt with, I just sort of know how to, like, live with it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, like, anchor points when I'm in that state that I know once I get to sound check, I'm good. Then I play, like, this song to, like, put my frequency into the room before I have to play everyone else's music. Then I get into my body. Then I can start thinking about having fun. Like, so there are anchor points that I have, like,
know
built
this.
In. I know. It's so, there's like a whole process that I didn't even know it was a process until it is. It's repetitive. So there's like anchor points that bring me back to like that space. But I'll tell you, I can't do brunch. I can maybe work out. Otherwise, I'm worthless.
No, I
have to hide.
Honestly, it's why I don't do keynote speaking anymore.
I really get it.
I have to, like, Alexa always is like, Jessica needs to wrap herself in bubble wrap for 48 hours. Like, I, like, cannot think of anything, do anything, focus on anything. I can't check an email. I can't, it is really fucked up. And I don't do them anymore because it's not worth getting on an airplane.
Yeah.
Which makes me anxious to begin with. Flying and speaking on stage for 45 minutes. No matter how much they fucking pay me, I don't do it anymore because of how it destroys my, like, nervous system. I will, like, fireside chat. I love panels. Like, I used to have an aspiring, like, part of me that was like, I should do speaking as big part of my work. I actually have no interest in it. I'd rather, like, I'm happy to go speak. It's kind of my new rule. Like, if you want me to come speak at your conference, cool. But it's going to be a fireside chat.
Well, the energetics of it are so different. To carry a room in a keynote, and I would compare it to carrying a room as a DJ, but if I had to actually speak, it would be a whole different.
I admire the women that, like, Judy Collar, Jen Gottlieb, like, those chicks, like, I incredible. Find them so inspiring.
Yeah.
Mad they had fucking respect.
What do you think? They just, like, they love it. They know how to work through that fear. They don't have that anxiety. They're born to do this.
I think they're born to do it.
Okay.
I think it's part of your design. And I thought it would be mine.
Yeah,
I'm
I do.
I'm an actress, too. But it just wasn't worth what it did to me.
Yeah, it's good.
And I didn't enjoy it. Like, when I really looked at it, I was like, this doesn't bring me joy.
You could never click in.
Could never click in. I would rather speak to a room of 17 women at a retreat. That's a very...
Yeah. The intimacy is different.
I'm hosting a summit in a couple days for my community. I'm not nervous at all about that because those are my women. But when I'm hired to, like, go speak at, like, a real estate conference in a room full of strangers, like, no.
Okay, great. So I'm going to ask you, like, two more questions, and then we have a rapid fire round.
Oh, I love the rapid fire.
Being so public and deciding that you're very authentic and you're very vulnerable and that you bring your community in. But how do you decide what gets to be yours versus your community or people that you're with?
I think people would be surprised to know that I actually... I'm extremely discerning about how much time I spend and what I share. There was a part in my journey where I would share everything, like where I was traveling, where I was eating, what I was doing, like my thoughts for the day. Like I dialed it way down.
Yeah.
I am extremely strategic and intentional with what I choose to share on social media. I'm actually the most vulnerable here on the podcast.
Yep.
So if you're here and you've been listening for a while, you probably know me better than anyone on Instagram ever would, obviously. I'll give you a real-time example, like this house that we just moved into. I've been taking my whole community on the journey of the build. And we finally got in and I was like super excited. Like we furnished the whole thing. It's a total temple. So many people were DMing me like, can I see it? Can I see it? Can I see it? Like it was wild.
Well, you did kind of allude to that.
You
I was going
driving
to
up to the driveway. And you're like, we're going to see our home.
I know.
So
I know.
You basically, I did totally up to the door.
Blue balled you guys. I'm sorry.
No,
but I was like sitting with it, and I was like, I don't want to share.
I love your honesty about that.
I know that. I totally did, and I don't really care. Like I
was so happy. Jess told me this like the other day when we were in her kitchen. I was like, so like I've been waiting for like the tour to drop or something, and when you said like, oh, I've actually decided not to. I sat with it and just felt like this is Brian and I's home.
Yes.
This is what I've created.
Right.
I mean, people will see aspects of it like
absolutely.
Here and there.
Yeah.
But just that you didn't feel this need or this like
to give
honest.
Instagram a whole fucking video tour of my house.
Right.
No.
But also like you work so hard for it. So it's not just that like you feel like you should, but like there's something that would be amazing about showing it off.
Totally.
Like look at all the decisions I made. This amazing designer. I know. Photos will come out of it because
yeah.
Amy, her designer, is a genius.
Yeah.
So I also understand in the desire to show it off, to show.
Yeah, of course. And I celebrate anybody who would ever do that. That's
oh,
such a personal choice.
Personal choice.
And I thought I was going to choose to share it.
Yeah.
That was like what I had been planning on in some way. And then I got in here and I was just such a clear no. It was like
yeah.
The energy in here feels, I call this house, and you've been here for a few days, it is a world within a world away from the world. That's what I wanted to feel like. It's a world within a world away from the world. It's not just a sanctuary. I feel like it's a portal. You step in and the whole world disappears.
I think I've just been in the world within the world. Is there another world?
It's just away from the world.
Oh, gotcha.
It's a world within a world.
Yes.
Away from the world.
Got it. I didn't realize I was so detached from the world.
But don't you feel so like we're up in a, it's a very.
You know what else it is? We have a world.
That's true.
So how are we away from the world, in a world, in a world? Then we're in our world.
We're in a world, in a world, within a world, within a world. Away from the world. That's what it is.
So like, I know we went to Pilates this morning and I was like, where are we?
I was like, fire trucks and lights and people.
Like, she's telling me to go lower. I don't like when people talk to me.
I mean, seriously, I feel
it'll be interesting to see the era, this next evolution.
I know. Everyone, all my friends in Nashville are like,
goodbye.
We know we're not going to see you anymore.
I think we're all, I mean, we're going into winter. Well, we're in it's winter at the time.
Perfect season.
Yeah. So we're about to, you know, hibernate.
Yeah.
I've got one more question for you, and then we're going to do a rapid fire. And I do have a lot of other questions. So maybe we can do a part two sometime. Okay. What is like one of your biggest learns from being friends with me?
That's the last question. Cause now we're going to have to talk about our feelings for the next half an hour. No, I'm just kidding. You are one of my greatest teachers. You are one of the most adventurous, bravest. And I'm not talking about travel. I'm talking about the journey within. Women I've ever met, you say yes to life in a way that really gets as outside as you say I am. I feel like you get me out of my shell. You show me what it's like to really face myself, to face life, to embrace the messy and to help me find more truth. I think that you have become like my inspiration. And I have like sometimes pride around like how I feel your path, we've talked about this, you're so free and you really play in the deep end of life and you have the space and the opportunity and the time to do that. And I often don't, or feels like sometimes I don't. So I have a little bit of envy at times around how
sure.
You get to do that. But at the end of the day, you're underneath it all. You're always teaching me how to look at things differently, mm-hmm. how to look at things with more humanity and love. And, truth, and you really have taught me, and I think our friendship has taught me, like the entity of our friendship, which is its own living, breathing twin flame organism, how to stay in relationship, how to be in relationship, because it is not an easy task, and most people will tap out 9 times out of 10, whether it's of the entire relationship or just simply a conversation that they don't want to have. You've never pulled off your chips off the table. You've always stayed in relationship with me in every situation, no matter how hard or painful it can be. And that has changed me as a person in the most profound way.
Oh, thank you for seeing me and saying that.
It's so true.
I mean, we are opposites.
Yeah.
That like, if I need to grow,
you know, a certain way. Like, Jess will always be the expression of the way that I need to grow in areas. And I will just say this because it's not like but I want to tell you, like, I have this thing when I'm around Jessica, like the first, because we've been hanging out in Nashville for like a few days now, almost a week. And when I am with her in like the first 24 hours, I start to second guess my entire life and everything I've produced and who I am. And meaning like, because I'm just kind of, I'm around her enough where I start to see her frequency of how big her team is, how many things she's got going on. And like, I guess those things, we're just different. But then kind of like the level at which you're willing to play is something that's always confronted me, but also been an invitation. And so I used to kind of go down with it. All of a sudden, I'm like, I need to go to my room and create a mastermind right now. And because I would just get this, it's like a surge of energy and also a surge of like, I need to be more. Now I have this like observer lens rather than being it and going down. And I'm like, what are you? Who are you? And it's like literally like your essence can really show, be a big mirror, an invitation to the next thing. Like it will, that's my, it's information for me, right?
Yeah.
I think we do talk a lot about your success and we talk about your, all the things you've done. You know, what I would say people don't know enough is your big heart and how much you care. I have a question on here about like building a team. I don't know if we'll get to it, but basically like, you know, you, the way you've cultivated a team and you always bring people in, I mean, it has been a big journey. And I think that is one of the hardest things about leadership and being a business owner. And, but your heart and the way you care is just, I don't think people really know how, what that is. And really at the level at which the ache is, or the level at which you think and care about things, you know, and just because of the way that you built your brand and everything too. But that's really a cornerstone for who you are.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
I actually have one question for you before you quickfire me on that note. What is one thing about me that is ridiculous that people would be surprised to know?
All right. Like a Jessica, like
I was prepared you were going to share my unhinged side. So let's just take like.
Well, we still have the rapid fire.
Oh, okay.
Okay, fine.
Let's see if it comes out, fire. Okay. So these are, okay. Rapid fire questions. Sunset or sunrise?
Sunset.
Okay. Most dramatic thing you've done lately?
Lose my shit on my family at the airport over Thanksgiving holidays.
Did you call them or text them?
Texting.
Okay.
Yeah, it was all on text.
The holidays too.
Yeah.
In the airport.
On Thanksgiving.
Okay. What's your go-to either song or something you wear, a perfume? Like you want to feel hot and sexy. What do you do?
I put on Dancing on My Own by Robin. It is my fucking life anthem. And I wear something tight. I like showing off my midriff and my arms. And
yes. You love feeling sexy.
I really do.
And what you wear and how you present yourself.
I show skin. Always. I show chest. I show like midriff.
Yeah, you enjoy that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
We had this funny thing. We had this funny thing in Egypt where like, I would get mad at Jessica. Literally brought a carry-on for a 2-week trip in Egypt. I'm like, but she kept pulling out like a closet. And by the way, we have like a really funny reel we could like share.
We should link it in the show
because we did like a fashion show on this thing. But like, and I would get so mad. I'm like, Jessica, you said you didn't have anything to wear. You're an 11, and I'm an 8, and it was like a whole thing. But I really have learned. And I'm sure we've learned this through our friends Tali and Shelly, like dressing up and
every
for yourself and enjoying it. Yes. Such a superpower.
Yes, 100%.
The hidden talent no one knows about.
I could build a website.
Really?
I could build a website on Squarespace.
Okay, good to know.
I don't want to do it, but I could.
The most unnecessary thing you pack on every trip?
Everything's necessary, Megan.
I know.
All of my supplements, my sleeping medication, my eye mask, my earplugs, my mouth tape, my skincare.
This is a bit unhinged.
My hair
is the way you sleep.
My straightener.
The way Jessica sleeps, I know exactly what it takes. So we could be in the darkest room. It could be like completely silent and pitch black. It doesn't matter. She still has like $150, like an $150 blackout eye mask on. She has in her ears. Soundproof, what are they called?
Earplugs. They're stuffed all the way in.
Mouth tape, little pajamas. Then the robe will be nearby. Her hair will be up in a bun. And then she will be under all these blankets. And then there'll be two pillows over her head every single time.
It's so fucking crazy.
It is.
It's so extreme.
It's like a whole thing.
Well, you know what I learned about myself once? My human design?
What?
My head, this channel is open.
Oh, from the crown up?
From the crown up. It's like white. It's not filled in.
So
I feel like I have to, because
that makes a lot of sense.
During the night that I have to like guard myself.
That's, and how do you wake up if there's no coffee?
I am a raging bitch for the first like 20 minutes of the morning.
We definitely need our coffee.
Don't talk to me.
Okay, what's the most chaotic Amazon purchase you've made recently?
I mean, all I've done is shop on Amazon. I just moved into a new house. What is the most chaotic Amazon purchase, like singular?
Yeah, or anything that comes to mind. Has it been like crazy lip gloss, something crazy for your house?
I mean, I just bought a mattress cover because my mattress cover isn't big enough because I take sleep so seriously. I need like a fluffier one.
Yeah, on my new bed.
On my new bed. I forced my husband to buy the same black closet hangers that I have.
Oh, that's
good. Because I want it to look consistent.
That's
good. His closet can't look like a shit show and mine does. We're like sharing. I bought the most amazing dog wipes ever called Earthbound something. They're organic. Like, these are like the little things when you own animals, when you find like a product that like the thing you were missing.
Yeah.
It makes your
You're
so
good.
Happy.
Like, you have your products. You get them consistently.
Yeah.
The amount of Elements in this house. She's like, you could take a box. Offering someone a box of Elements is like, are you sure? Those are a box of Elements. And then I was like, I'll take a few, being me. And then I open up the cupboard and I'm like, oh, I'll take a whole box because there's boxes and boxes of them. That's so good.
You should sponsor my show, man.
I know.
Don't go days without Elements.
We love Elements.
Seriously, I'm addicted.
Okay, what's the most iconic outfit you've ever worn? Just what comes to mind?
The Lightworker beaded cape.
Oh, so beautiful.
Yeah.
So good.
On the cover of the Lightwork.
When is the last time you've blow dried your own hair?
When I was in high school.
Amazing. What instantly gives you the ick?
Snobbery.
Mm-hmm.
People who are snobs.
Who cries first, you or me?
You.
Yeah, I know, exactly. What's the most Leo thing about you?
My style, the fact that I love to be on stage. I love to host. I like really enjoy being like at the center.
Yeah, for sure. What's your current Roman Empire?
What does that mean?
Basically, like your obsession.
Oh, is this another Gen Z kind of like
this is
outside?
Last year, though.
Oh, see, Megan, I can't keep up. This is why I have you. What's my latest obsession? My husband.
Yeah. We also, the last 5 days, have been watching a series together. We've got one episode left of All Her Faults.
With Sarah Snook. So good.
It's been like the best.
Totally.
It's been the best way to.
I would say, like, Roman Empire, besides my husband, if we're talking about shows, I'm truly obsessed with the other show that we were watching, Mayor of Kingstown. No, it's like a sleeper dark horse show that no one knows about. It's with Jeremy Renner. It is, if you like suspense and you don't mind a dark show, it's one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Wow.
Mayor of Kingstown. It's
how
on
it?
Paramount.
Okay, got it. What's the last thing you told your own guides or your spirit team that maybe people don't know?
Like told them or asked for?
Either.
I would say I asked for support in softening my heart around things that have hurt it. I always am grateful. I always send up gratitude. I really recognize that I incarnated in this body, in this life, on this part of the planet with the timeline, environment, circumstances that I had, and I'm privileged and blessed.
Yeah.
And I really don't take for granted like my gifts, my abundance, my comforts, my creature comforts, my health, my dogs, my marriage, my friends. Like, I really look around my life often and I'm deeply, deeply, deeply grateful. To be honest, sometimes I have a hard time asking for more.
I know what you mean.
So I just, you know, often if I ask for anything, it's like miracles.
Yeah.
But miracles come in various forms.
Yeah. And I heard soften. You
know? Yeah, a softening.
I heard this. This is something that I'm asking for in this moment because I felt an invitation.
Go so for it. Go. Let's have you share.
Well, I heard some sort of quote and it's like, the goal is in abundance. The goal is to know you have enough. And I think that that is, I don't know what that means and I don't know what that looks like, but if I can understand, I mean, abundance is obviously amazing too, but it's like in a culture where we are trained to want more, 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 be more, grow more, get more, like what would it feel like to have enough? Is that a place for me to be? It's like a question I have, right? And what that actually feels like in the body.
Yeah.
Because if you can tap into that, I think you look at a lot of things differently, you know? And enough doesn't mean, okay, I'll take what I can get. You know, that's a different frequency too.
Right.
So anyways, I've been wanting to explore the
No, enough. I think like actually enoughness is the ultimate abundance.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I hear what you're saying.
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you. So fun.
This was unbelievable.
This is so fun.
What a gift that you gave me and my audience and our friendship by coming on and being a part of the show. And this was Megan's idea.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, let's make it happen and wear sweatsuits and like anoint the new Spiritual Hustler podcast studio.
I forgot we're in sweatsuits.
Conversation with
so good. Now we get to go make a reel in our sweatsuits.
Let's go. Yes. We only got so much time. I love you.
Love
you. You are my greatest gift.